Dealing with this constant harassment exhausted the Shah's forces. Now, suddenly, the army under General Jubei that had disappeared to the south reappeared, heading northwest into Transoxiana at remarkable speed. The Shah hurriedly sent south his last reserves, an army of 50,000, to do battle with Jubei. He still was not worried. His men had proved their superiority in direct combat at the battle in the Fergana Valley. This time, however, it was different. The Mongols unleashed strange weapons. Their arrows were dipped in burning tar, which created smoke screens, behind which their lightning-quick horsemen advanced, opening breaches in the lines of the Shah's army, through which more heavily armed cavalry would advance. Chariots darted back and forth behind the Mongol lines, bringing up constant supplies. The Mongols filled the sky with arrows, creating relentless pressure. They wore shirts of heavy silk. An arrow that managed to pierce the shirt would rarely reach the flesh and could be extracted easily by pulling at the shirt, all of this done while moving at great speed. Jubei's army annihilated the Shah's forces. The Shah had one option left: retreat to the west, retrench, and slowly rebuild his army. As he began preparations, however, something beyond belief occurred. An army under Genghis Khan himself suddenly stood outside the gates of the city of Bukhara, to the west of Samarkand. Where had they come from? They could not have crossed the Kizil Qum Desert to the north. Their appearance seemed all but impossible, as if the devil himself had conjured them up. Bukhara soon fell, and within days Samarkand followed. Soldiers deserted, generals panicked. The Shah, fearing for his life, fled with a handful of soldiers. The Mongols pursued him relentlessly. Months later, on a small island in the Caspian Sea, abandoned by one and all, wearing rags and begging for food, the former ruler of the wealthiest empire in the East finally died of hunger. Interpretation. The genius of Genghis Khan was to transform the chaotic Mongol speed into something organized, disciplined, and strategic. He achieved this by adapting the ancient Chinese strategy of slow, slow, quick, quick. The first step, a slow, was to meticulously prepare before any campaign, which the Mongols always did to the highest degree. In planning for the attack on the Shah, the Mongols learned of a guide who knew of a chain of oases across the Kizil Qum Desert. The man was captured and later led Genghis Khan's army across the forbidding territory. The second slow was a setup, which involved getting the enemy to lower its guard, lulling it into complacency. Then came the first quick. Fixing the enemy's attention forward with a swift frontal attack, Jubei's raids along the river. The final quick was a doubly swift blow from an unexpected direction. Genghis's sudden appearance before the gates of Bukhara is considered by many the greatest military surprise in history. We live in a world in which speed is prized above almost all else, and acting faster than the other side has itself become the primary goal. But most often, people are merely in a hurry, acting and reacting frantically to events, all of which makes them prone to error and wasting time in the long run. In order to separate yourself from the pack, to harness a speed that has devastating force, you must be organized and strategic. First, you prepare yourself before any action, scanning your enemy for weaknesses. Then you find a way to get your opponents to underestimate you, to lower their guard. When you strike unexpectedly, they will freeze up. When you hit again, it is from the side and out of nowhere. It is the unanticipated blow that makes the biggest impact.